Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start reading at verse 1. We'll stand for the reading of the Word of God. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Father, we are glad this morning that you've given to us the Word of God. And we're glad that you've given to us the body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And we are thankful this morning, Lord, that we have this privilege to preach the gospel to this congregation. And we know, Lord, that we are dependent upon you. And we understand, Father, that without you we can do nothing. And we ask, Lord Jesus, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, Father, that good would be done by this message this morning, that souls would be drawn to the Lord. We pray that souls would be saved, edified, the church of Jesus blessed, our hearts made hungry for more of God. We'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My text sets forth the pitiful position of our past. In the past, we walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. That is the position of our past. And there is a contrast between our past and the glorious position of our present, that we have been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And I want to preach to you this morning on being saved from Satan. The tragic state of the sinner is contrasted with the blessed state of the saint. The sinner is seduced and prodded by the devil, the prince of the power of the air. As the Bible says, in the time past, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So in our past, the devil had his way in our life. But the saint is that person who has been saved from the evil influence of the devil. Now, I want to bring out three things from my text. I want to show you the character of Satan, the activity of Satan, and the spoiling of Satan. First of all, we'll deal with the character of Satan. In my text, Satan is referred to as the prince of the power of the air. He is a prince. He was created by God to be an exalted cherubim He was a creature of beauty and intelligence and ability and power. He was involved in the worship and service of God in heaven until iniquity was found in him. He became proud, self-exalted, sought the throne of God. And in his rebellion against God, seeking the throne of God, his rebellion was quashed and he was cast out of his exalted position. And with that host of angels who rebelled with him, followed him in his rebellion, Satan organized hell with all of those fallen angels to wage continual war with God. As a prince, the prince of the power of the air, as a prince, Satan possesses a certain grandeur. Though his powers are perverted, he exercises great power in the realm of the spirit and in the affairs of men. He is a person of evil eminence. He is a person of diabolical brilliance. In spite of his fallen condition, he retains an impressive, malignant majesty. As a prince, he not only possesses a certain grandeur, but he rules over a kingdom that's composed of fallen angels and fallen men. According to Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, Satan took one third of the angels of God with him in his failed uprising against God. These fallen angels are the demons by which the devil torments men to this very day. They are under his direction. We are not told how many there are of those demons, those fallen angels, but they likely number in the hundreds of millions and perhaps even billions. In addition to these fallen angels, Satan rules over that part of the human race that rejects the rule of Christ. Anybody who rejects the rule of Christ is ruled by Satan. Before a person comes to Christ for salvation, Satan is prodding them down that broad road to destruction, like cattle herded to the slaughter. The Bible says that he is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The character of Satan is revealed to us in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, he is called the tempter. He entices men into evil and into sin. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 19 and 38, he is referred to as the wicked one. His title, Satan, means adversary, and his other title, devil, means accuser. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus indicts Satan as being a murderer, a liar, and the father of lies. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he is referred to as a dragon and a serpent, which deceiveth the whole world. His kingdom is a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of destruction, a kingdom of death. But now listen to me. Y'all follow with me here for a few minutes. In spite of Satan's poison character, he commands the admiration of the world. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 that he is the god of this world. He commands the admiration of the world. And the world's admiration for Satan is seen in their adulation of those public figures who portray Satan's character and nature. Y'all get that? I said, that the world's admiration for Satan is seen in their admiration for those people in public life who exhibit the character and nature of the devil. So, you know, we have public figures in politics that exhibit the nature of the devil, and they are admired by the masses. Our president, former president Bill Clinton, was reelected in this country after he had been exposed over and over as a fornicator and a liar. In fact, his popularity ratings went up after the Lewinsky affair. And our present president was reelected even after it became clear that he harbored hostility toward Israel and toward Bible-believing Christians. And his party won the presidency after booing a proposal to add God to the platform, to the party's platform. And, you know, in our country, sports stars, even though they are proud and greedy and immoral and lying cheaters, and they are exposed as being that over and over again, they are admired by the masses in our society. And Hollywood stars, admired by the masses, exhibit unspeakably base morals. The music entertainers are druggies, drunks, fornicators, profane jerks, and culture corruptors. The masses admire them. They make gods out of people like Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, Britney Spears, Lady Gaga. That's the way you say her name. I don't know how to say her name. Lady Gaga and Madonna. And I'm telling you that Satan is behind the scenes, and he's pulling the strings, and he's approving the adoration of those people who resemble him. He is the God of this world. And he is admired by the masses of people in this world. And we see that through their admiration of those people who are most like him. Secondly, I want to talk to you about the activity of Satan. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that he is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan has a certain amount of authority over everyone who has rejected the authority of Christ. For some of those people, he oppresses them. For others, he possesses them. For others, he makes suggestions to them because he knows they have a nature that approves his suggestions. He works in the children of disobedience. He stirs up resentment and rebellion against Christ. He convinces people that the commands of Christ are unreasonable and that the Bible is a hopelessly outdated book, and that you don't have to pay any attention to the Bible because it's an old book and it was written by dead men, and therefore it has no relevance to us in this day. He convinces people that the Bible is irrelevant to their lives. He is the one that when he sees an opening in our life where there is a possibility of us becoming a bitter person, he drives home that point over and over and over again to increase the bitterness of our heart, because if he can make you a bitter person, he will destroy your life. He watches for a sign that a person is beauty and fashion conscious, and he pushes them down that road just as far as he can. He sends his devoted disciples to make hardened followers of those that are faltering in their journey to hell and considering changing direction, He'll get somebody in your life to make you think that that really is not the way you need to go. He blinds His victims. He leads them step by step to their destruction. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:26, Paul mentions those who are taken captive by the devil at his will. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. Those who reject the will of God become subject to the will of the devil. They become captives at his will. He affects all ages, young, middle-aged, older adults. He aims to take charge of your life without you knowing it. I said He aims to take charge of your life without you knowing it. You think you're in charge. The thoughts that come into your mind, the desires that are stimulated in your heart, and the resentments that are rooted in your emotions, they all make sense to you. They all seem to be reasonable. You think that you are in charge. And it all seems to be working out for the enhancement of your life. While all the time you're being drawn into a diabolical trap that's going to cost you your life and cost you your soul, Satan does not have any good in mind for you. He's out to destroy you. He is that thief that cometh not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I'm telling you, He has a plan for your life. He's going to use you, abuse you, and then toss you on the pile of wrecked humanity in the fires of hell. That is the plan Satan has for your life. The devil is a rebel, and he aims to make a rebel out of you. And he don't care if you are a religious rebel. In fact, that might even be better for him if you become a religious rebel, just so you do not yield to the authority of the Word of God. It was pride that changed Satan from an angel into a devil. And it will do the same thing for you, brother. Pride changed him from an angel to a devil. You'll declare your independence from the church, from the pastor, from the ordinances of the church. You'll live like you don't need God. He'll rob you of your prayer life. He'll rob you of your appreciation for the people of God. And He'll turn a thankful attitude into a murmuring attitude. And He will turn humility into haughtiness. And He will make a tender heart become a hard heart. And Satan will destroy you. Pride will turn you from a saint to a sinner, from an angel to a devil, brother. He'll make you resistant to the dealings of the Spirit of God, untouchable by the preaching of the gospel. Harden your heart to the truth of the Word of God. He will. He's dedicated to your destruction. He is that spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He's active in your life if you're outside of Jesus. And then finally, I want you to see in my text the spoiling of Satan. The good news is found in verse 8. By grace are ye saved through faith. Saved from what? Saved from Satan. You are saved. I preached to you last Sunday that we are saved from the course of this world. But we're also saved from Satan. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What is grace? Well, one man used an acrostic and said that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It was love for His Father and compassion for sinful men that brought Jesus out of heaven and into this earth to give His life for us on an old rugged cross. God loved us even when we were dead in sin. That's the grace of God. God loved us even when we were rebels against Him. That's the grace of God. God offers us forgiveness and deliverance in spite of what we've done and in spite of our past obedience to Satan. God offers us forgiveness and pardon and deliverance. That is God's grace. It is God's riches offered to us at the expense of Christ. Jesus died for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins and delivered from the power of Satan. When Jesus was manifested in Bethlehem, the battle for the souls of men was on. Satan tried to kill Jesus when He was just a baby in Bethlehem. The sword of Herod failed, and the malice of his neighbors in Nazareth failed. When they were going to take him and cast him off of the cliff and kill him, Jesus was met by the devil in the wilderness and tempted by Satan, who was hoping that he could mar the record of Jesus and disqualify him for the cross. But he failed again, because Jesus did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. Satan had conquered man. He conquered Adam in the beginning. He had conquered every man since, but he could not conquer the God-man. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I said he could not conquer the God-man. And Jesus cast out devils, and he cast devils out of men that were controlled by Satan when he was accused by the Pharisees of casting out devils through the prince of devils. Jesus let them know that he cast out devils through the power of the Spirit of God. He said, "How can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Well, I want you to know that Satan is the strong man, and souls are the spoils, and Jesus is the stronger than the strong man. He's the one that binds the strong man and spoils his house. When Satan could not keep Jesus from the cross, he tried to keep him in the grave. But he could not stop the resurrection, because Jesus has power over Satan. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the one that saves us from Satan. We are saved. All of us who were once directed by the devil, all of us who once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, we are saved from Satan by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the victory. By grace, we are saved. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that it does not matter how strong the hold Satan has on your life. It does not matter how long he has held you captive to his will. Jesus can save you and free you from the power of Satan. It doesn't matter, brother, whether you're young or old, how long the devil's had you, how deep in sin you've gone. Jesus is able. I'm telling you, he saves us from the power of sin and Satan. By grace, ye are saved. He transforms our relationship to Satan so that though we were once subject to him and we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, when the devil comes back around after we have gotten saved and he finds that we are no longer subject to him, and instead we have dominion over him. For the Bible tells us in the Word of God and in the book of James, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God will change the relationship between us and the devil. And the devil needs to know, brother, when you come to Jesus and you've given your heart to Him, that He don't have dominion over you any longer. And when He comes around, you let Him know, I belong to Jesus. I've been bought by the blood of Christ. I no longer am subject to your commands. I don't walk according to the course of the power of the air. But Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Master. And I live and walk in the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The devil has lost another one when Jesus gets a hold of that heart and life and spoils the house of Satan. Satan loses his claim on you. We're able to resist the devil. People are afraid. They can't live this life. They can't do the will of God. They're afraid that Satan will come back and lay claim on them. But I'm telling you, brother, you don't have to yield to Satan any longer. Well, hallelujah. We are saved by the grace of God, saved from the power of Satan. No longer does Satan have a claim on us. And we are victorious over the devil now because Jesus has saved us from Satan. There's no excuse for us not having victory. No excuse for us not living holy. No excuse for us not overcoming. Jesus has saved us from Satan. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about living right. And when you come to Jesus, if you yield your life to Jesus, Jesus will live right through you. There'll be a new power in you. It's the power of Jesus. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. We are saved from Satan. Praise God. I want us to stand together this morning when Sister Judy comes to the piano. Years ago, as a young boy in the altar, Georgia, where I was pastoring, and I could tell that the young man was struggling. He was praying. He was struggling. I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, I'm afraid. I can't live it." And I said, "You're right. You can't live it. But if you'll surrender your life to Jesus, Jesus will live it through you. It won't be you. It'll be Jesus." The Apostle Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." I want you to know that you can have victory over Satan this morning. You don't have to live a victim. I'm telling you, the horrendous stories that we all know of lives that were controlled by Satan. You young people, some of you don't know the depths of Satan. You've not experienced, you've not seen the degradation that he can force upon a soul. You've not seen the terrible tragedies that the devil brings upon lives yielded to him. But I'm telling you, he's a cruel taskmaster. The devil has no pity on your soul. It is his aim to destroy you, wreck your home, wreck your life, and send you to a devil's hell forevermore. This is the devil's purpose for you. But thank God for Jesus, that God loved us, even in our sins. By grace, you're saved. Saved from the course of this world. Saved from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.